In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. There's a handout today. Hopefully you've got it. Take it with you. Don't look at it now. Read it over a cup of coffee later. All right, there's lots of stuff in there you can reflect on and read. The glory of the mountaintop, it says. Take it with you. Now, for the last couple of weeks, I've been in Switzerland, as you probably know. Every year I get an invitation to go to Zermatt, which is a glorious place renowned for its mountains, for the Matterhorn, which is really like the national symbol of Switzerland. You'll have seen it on any Toblerone packet. And it's a wonderful place. And I look after the church there. And I've been there for the last 2 weeks. Every day I open the church in the early morning. Sometimes I have to shovel heaps of snow away from the door and open the door. There's this beautiful church. And it was built in 1870, long before any people came there as holiday makers. The Victorians went there. The Brits went there. The people from Blighty went there. That was it. There were a few Swiss farmers, and the Victorians went there to climb the mountains and take in the mountain air because they thought it was good for their health. And that's what they did. And so they built a church there, which I look after, 1870. No skiing at the time, just a hotel called the Monte Rosa Hotel and this wonderful church that the Victorians built. Great, great vision at that time to get people to come to a place to pray. And this church is particularly famous because the very first climbers of the Matterhorn climbed the mountain, this majestic mountain, and on the way down they fell. They died. And one of those people was a priest, the Reverend Hudson, and they took his body some years later from the grave yard in Zermatt itself, and they placed his remains below the altar, which is St. Peter's Church in Zermatt, which I look after. And all the way around the walls, you can see wonderful, sad stories, really, of people who've climbed the mountains there and fell and died. So it's a bit of a pilgrimage place for climbers. It's a high place. The church is about a mile and a bit high. Much higher than Ben Nevis, this little church. So the air is thin. And on a Sunday morning, you have to breathe harder. Your heart races. Your oxygen level in your blood drops. And you can get dizzy. And if you go a little bit high, you can get mountain sickness. And actually, it's not the highest Anglican church. Because if you go up the hill a bit more, you get the cable car a bit higher. There's another church. At a place called Riffelalp, again, an English church. And I was amazed in this English church as I opened the door and walked in. There in the corner was a piano from Wales, can you believe? Can you believe that? So some crazy person got on a ship, took a boat, took this piano all the way up into the mountains, up then further higher. I don't know how they got it up there, I don't know. And they've got this piano there to worship God. So these are heady places, like our reading today about the Transfiguration up in a mountain where people encounter God. They're called thin places. And as you know, through the whole history of the Jewish people, it was on mountains where people encountered the living God and sensed his glory. And hence our story today, where they see Jesus as he really is. They get a capture, if you like, of the future. They glimpse what's beyond. Peter, James, and John see him as he really is, the beloved. The voice comes from heaven. Listen to my son. So a second declaration, one at his baptism, and now it is transfiguration in this thin place. Just think about it, you know. In one sense, when we gather here for worship, this is a thin place. Our hearts, hopefully, as we come here today, are lifted up to the living God. If you sit here and you're distracted by life's concerns,
or what you're going to do next week, or how long the vicar's going to go on and let me get on with the rest of the day, or the shopping that you've got to do, or the other preoccupations you've got. If you don't recognise this as a thin place, a transcendent place, a mountain place, if you like, where we all together can be transfigured, then you've missed it. Because this is the place where we come to meet the living God. And hopefully you've made an effort today. You've got out of bed, you've had your washing, you've come here, you've had your breakfast, you've come to church. And hopefully you've come here because you want to meet with God. You want to sense something of his glory, that he is here. And the more we do that, the more God will come down. And he will change us. And he will be with us. We will be transfigured ourselves. You know, there was a time, and John, who is here this morning, will recognize this. There was a time when we were part of a very large youth group in the 80s into the 90s. And there was about 350 of us all together. And we used to gather on a Wednesday night in central London in a church in Notting Hill Gate. We were gathering in this church, all these young people, a lot of them professional, often many of them at universities, and we would come to this thin place where we wanted to meet with God, and we would gather there at about 7:30, and we would just wait upon God, and we would hear some Bible teaching, and God would come. And you know, with these young people, the sense of the presence of God was so strong in this place. As we sang together and we worshipped and we prayed and we read the scripture and we prayed for one, the sense of the presence of God was so strong that we didn't want to go home. Can you believe that? Most people just want to get away from church after an hour because that's enough for me for this week. But here in this place, the sense of the presence of God was so powerful that we didn't want to go home. 11 o'clock, 11:30, sometimes midnight, we would be there. We had to go because the tube was going to stop. So let me encourage you, if you believe this is real, what we do here, come here and really meet with God, can you? The reason that many of us don't change is because we don't really meet with God here. We go through the motions. You know, there is such a thing as his glory, where our lives can be changed, where our world can be changed, our community changed, your family can be changed. You can be changed yourself because God is real and we can really encounter his glory. Is that real? And by the way, from this place on a Wednesday night, literally dozens of people went out to leadership in Christian ministry. Some of them are now pastors of churches and vicars and lead in major organizations because they met with God. They were transfigured. They were changed. So this is real. Are you going to be changed? Are you going to be transfigured? This is what we come to do here. And if we only sense its power and its real glory, we can be overcome. This is a thin place. You know, if we really believed in God, that he's here now, we could just stop, be silent, and we could open our hearts to him and our minds, and we could just stay there. Because ultimately, it's all that we need. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the very presence of God. It's all we need. And Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of this today in Jesus in his glory. But by the way, I take some consolation from it. Because it was these same three who, when it comes in the story later at Gethsemane, they're with him and he says, "Can you come with me and pray?" Do you know what they do? What do? They fall asleep. So they saw the mountaintop, they saw Moses and Elijah, and they heard the voice of God, and yet they didn't get it. They later on in the story, they fall asleep. So those of us who struggle with faith and think, well, I don't get it either, Vicar, take some consolation from it, because they didn't either. When they came down the mountain, you don't read it in today's reading, but they encounter a demon-possessed boy. And they don't know what to do with it. And the family trying to encourage these disciples to cast the demon out of the boy. But they can't cast the demon out of the boy. They don't know what to do with it. And Jesus says to them later, he says, do you know why you couldn't cast the demon out of the boy? You might have been on the mountaintop. You might have seen Moses and Elijah. And you might have heard the voice of God. The reason you couldn't cast the demon out of the boy is because these only come through prayer and fasting. They couldn't do it because they hadn't had enough, they hadn't got the equipment to do it, prayer and fasting. And that's good really for us to hear today, because we're going into Lent, and Lent is the time when we are encouraged together to pray and to fast, to cut back on those things that we overindulge with, to pray and to fast so that we can be more equipped to cast the demons out of our own life. And they're everywhere, and you know about them, and they preoccupy you. The demons in our own life will only come by prayer and fasting. And that's why Lent is so wonderfully powerful. It's a good job today we've got our new kneelers. See them? They're beautiful. Let me encourage you to kneel more on these beautiful kneelers that have been upholstered by wonderfully gifted craftsmen, because this is a place of prayer and fasting. It starts here. If only we could be transfigured. If only we could encounter the glory of God that's here, if we only knew it. If only we could be delivered from the demons of our life through more prayer and fasting. So let me encourage you to a holy Lent. Let me encourage you to come on Wednesday to be ashed, 9:30 and at 7:30 Wednesday night. This is a high place. This is a thin place. This is a place, if we only knew it, we could be transfigured today. We could see his glory. Lord, forgive us for our short-sightedness. Forgive us for not seeing things as perhaps we really should. Forgive us for our heavy hearts that preoccupy ourselves with the world as we know it. Help us, Lord, to be delivered from our demons and see his glory. Amen.